Okay, let's get started here. We're going to talk about the gospel. I'm going to read a passage of scripture if you guys want to turn there. I'm just going to read this passage, and this kind of just talks about the gospel, you know? Talks about what this thing is. But we're not limited to this. I just thought we'll just start with this scripture, and then we'll go from here. We'll share. What is the gospel to you? What makes it special? You know, what is your understanding of the gospel? Because there's a lot to it. It's simple in one sense. Okay, Paul said it simply in 1 Corinthians 15. The scripture we're going to is Titus 2, actually. We're going to Titus 2. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul made it very simple. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas. Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. Last of all, he was seen of me. So, and then the hope of the resurrection. But it's deep. It's rich. Christ came to fulfill so many things. He didn't come just... Titus 2. He didn't come just to die for sinners. He fulfilled many things. Many things. So, Titus 2. We're going to start in verse 11. And then we're going to read through into chapter 3. We'll go into verse 7. Okay, Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen?
Yes.
Good, huh?
I didn't even know they existed. Did I never read Titus?
Oh, there you go, man.
I've never read Titus.
Titus is a great little book, brother. It's a great little book.
And I'm just looking at it, and it says to be, because I've got your B's. That's already missed out. She Monday, she then last week as well. That's a beautiful book. Characters.
So, the gospel. Who wants to start? What is the gospel in terms of how much you understand it, and what does the gospel mean to you personally?
The truth.
Okay.
It's the truth.
Okay.
Whether somebody wants to hear, it's the truth. If somebody, like, we had a meeting, not a meeting, but we were discussing amongst my family, one Saturday morning, one Sunday afternoon, it was last weekend sometime. And I said to my daughter, because she doesn't believe the rapture. She doesn't like the word rapture. My wife and my they don't like the word rapture. But I keep on saying to them, but it's the truth. And I revealed the truth. I said, it's the truth. It's what we've got to work on, whether you believe. They know that there will be the first coming, but they don't believe in the word, the rapture. I said, but the rapture is the truth. the curtain got torn. The rapture, it's the coming of Jesus. Whether you like it, whether you don't.
So,
that is what it is. Whether the people like it, whether they don't, it is the truth. It's the gospel. And you've got to speak the truth.
Okay.
That's
what you see. The truth. Everybody else, gospel. What is the gospel? Christ.
The true character of his love and who he is as a person and what he has ordained to us for his kingdom. To me, it's his kingdom, all about him, about his kingdom, and to withdraw what he has. It's the love for people. Because that, why do we do this? We do it for him, to secure his kingdom. We do it to renew him and characterize ourselves in him. My gospel is to live as he did. That's the word, to live by him. And all is the righteousness, the obedience, to amend who we are of the flesh. We were born of the flesh. And when the old law was flesh, because I wrote here, so when he came, see the flesh, which is sin, that's why, so the old sin, so there, I said, yeah, the old law was weakened by the flesh, by sin. That's why we need Jesus and his grace, because if we still were in the old sin, you know, we wouldn't have been. We haven't had the opportunity. So he broke through to the gospel and gave it to us. So it's natural. It's like a revelation to become like him.
Okay, so you're saying the gospel is the
love. It's his
the
love
good news to become like him.
Yes, to become like him. The good news to become like him and to bring his to greatness for his kingdom. Because I mean, he's perfect out of love.
Okay.
He loves all to die for. Because you know, it's the same when the beginning with Noah and the ark. It's the same concept. I mean, the earth was defiled and there was so much pain and cause and whatever is going on in this world is to set people free from the condemnation of the world to sin, to die to sin. And to, for me, it's to actually mimic, to be a part of his DNA, full through his body. And to renew life to the kingdom, to the lost souls, that's the lost people of the world.
Okay.
Yeah, it's total surrender.
Is this thing recording?
Yeah, no, it's recording. It's for me. For me.
The gospel represents reconciliation. Is what you said and what you said is true. But when you look more into the gospel of Jesus, his main reason why he died is to reconcile man back to the Father.
Yeah.
Is this you go through it, you see the abundant love that the Father has for humanity, man. He lost man when man disobeyed him. But because of his love for man, he sent his son to die so that he can reconcile man back to the Father. So for me, it's more about reconciliation. It is, if I'm not able to reconcile myself with a brother, there is no way that they will understand the extent that I love him.
Yeah.
So it's all about reconciliation.
Amen for me. Amen. It's good.
And it's like bringing back to the first love when he placed Adam and Eve on the earth. That's what he had before they were received. So he restored it. That's why he brought Jesus to that point back.
Well, we'll talk about this. Yeah. We'll talk about this. Did he come to just restore us to the level of Adam and Eve?
I don't think he's restoring us back to the level of Adam and Eve.
No, not the level. Just what he's taking, the way he wanted that purity and that was there to live on the earth like that. To have that cleansing, that's what was taken. But to restore that love again, to restore that purity, to restore what that's where we go to the kingdom for eternal life. That's eternal. That's for eternal.
We'll discuss it as we go forward. We'll discuss it, brother.
I'll take it at Luke chapter 4.
Luke 4.
Verse 18 to 19.
Amen.
Jesus coming to Jerusalem as it was his custom. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 18 to 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's my summary of it all.
Okay, my view and my understanding is that the gospel is all about Jesus, the rebirth, washing away of our sins.
Amen.
That's why Jesus, actually in John 3, Jesus talked about when Nicodemus came at night to him, he talked about you being washed of your sins, you become a new birth.
Amen.
So he told Nicodemus, someone need to be born again. The new born again means being born again in spirit.
Mm.
Over the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
That's why the Holy Ghost, because everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. So the only alternative is to be what? To be born again.
Amen.
To decide that today I've decided to be born again in Christ. If you look at 3, at 3,
at
3, 3,
at 3.
John 3, 3.
John 3, 3.
Yes. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God." Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit." That is it.
Mm.
That is my point.
Okay. So I just want to, I'm just writing these down real quick, because I want to show how everything we're saying is all part of the gospel.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Dr. Sir, like where he spoke to Peter when he came turning on the boat and how willing he was to come out and he called him out. So I think discipleship plays a key in the gospel. And it's like, are you willing to die for me? You know, because he knows that the cause are behind it. Because like when he speaks to you, and I know, do you love me? He says, you feed my sheep, you know, the whole concept of feed my sheep, follow me.
Amen. This is good. Okay, so Skalk says it's the truth. The gospel is the truth. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He's talking about trusting in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard, what's it called? The word of truth. What is the word of truth? Gospel of your salvation. So he's right, the gospel is the truth. It's the word of truth. It's the gospel of our salvation. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Gospel is the good news.
Gospel is good news. It's the word of truth. It is. Okay, but now more specifically, what is this word of truth about? Okay? Because there's lots of truth. What is this word of truth about? So, Jonathan says his love to become like Jesus, expand his kingdom. Okay? So now I just want to show you here in 1 Peter 1, right? Look at chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. What steps did Christ walk in? Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Okay, so we see, this call of the gospel is this call of the love of God being perfected in us, so that we can walk as Jesus walked. How did Jesus walk? Sinless. How did he walk? Laying down his life for others. How did he walk? Not fighting for his rights, but suffering it. Taking it. This is how he walked. We are called to walk as he walked. This is part of the gospel. If you go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Okay, so the called. How are you called?
According to his purpose.
According to his purpose. But how? How are you actually called into this fellowship? It's by the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel is what actually calls us into this. We'll get to Larry's point in a moment here. But look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To be what?
Sumptuous.
What does it say? To be what?
To the image of his son.
To be conformed to the image of his son. That he, that's Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Yeah.
So Christ isn't the only son of God. Now yes, he's the only begotten. He's the only one that was physically was born by the Father. That's the only one, right? I'm not physically born by the Father. So he is the only begotten, that's true. But he's not the one and only son. He's actually going to be the firstborn among many brethren. That he's going to call us brothers, actually. That we are becoming the sons of God, okay? So, to what you were saying. Now, Larry's point was reconciliation. The gospel's all about reconciliation. We're in Romans 8. Go back to chapter 5. Romans 8, chapter 5.
For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh.
No. I'm sorry, did I say Romans 8?
Yes, Romans 8, 5.
Sorry, Romans 5.
Romans 5.
My fault. Let's start in verse 6. We'll read verse 6 through verse 10.
Okay, so I'll start it. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time, Christ died for us in behalf of the ungodly.
Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7.
For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die.
But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Let's go.
And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Amen.
Verse 10. Larry.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Okay. So he says the gospel is about reconciliation. It is. Now there's actually another step beyond reconciliation, as you just pointed out here. But first, reconciliation. How are we reconciled to God? According to that verse. How are we reconciled to God?
If you look at John 14:21 onwards.
Let's stay focused. Hold on. Let's stay focused. How are we reconciled to God? According to that verse.
Through the death of his son.
Through the cross. Yeah. Through the cross. Through the cross. That's how we're reconciled to God. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 18.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen. So he's reconciled, God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 19.
It was God personally presents in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to
Amen.
Favor. Yeah.
Reconciliation, verse 20.
520.
2 Corinthians.
Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. See that reconciliation. So, reconciled to the Father through Christ, specifically through the death of Christ. It's through the cross of Christ. Christ on the cross was made sin for us so that we can be reconciled to God and become righteousness. And not only become righteousness, but then, like you said, then go out as ambassadors to reconcile others to God. Amen? We're in agreement? Mike said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So, is this gospel for people who are okay? Well, it is for all, but remember, the people who think they're okay, the gospel can't really help them. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to to repentance. So again, if you go to 1 Timothy, we looked at it before, but we'll look at it again. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. This is worthy to be accepted. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul says, of whom I am chief, but came to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
However, for this reason, I will tell you myself that in me, first Jesus Christ made sure all long sufferings as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
Amen. 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 So this gospel is to save sinners and to call them to everlasting life. And that's why in Luke 4, I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. I'm healing the brokenhearted. I'm giving sight to the blind. See, people that are in need. The truth is, everybody's in need. The whole world is in need. But they need to see their need. If they don't see their need, then the gospel can't really shine on them. We'll see that the scripture says that the devil has blinded the minds of those who believe not, so that they will not see the glorious gospel of Christ. That gospel will be hid to them. Okay, and then David said it's all about new birth, washing of sins. It's all about Jesus. I love it. It is all about Jesus. Let's go to Acts 2. Something I think that is important to distinguish. The gospel as we know it is not really preached openly and clearly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It's a little more clear in John, I would say. But it's not really preached openly. Okay, now I want to start giving you guys an understanding. What's preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is repent, the kingdom is coming. So it's a repentance to prepare for the kingdom, to prepare for the king. Now, that is important to the gospel. Those are the initial steps. But the gospel as we know it, which is that Christ has died for our sins, was buried and rose again, Jesus did not preach that openly. Okay? In fact, let me just show you real quick. When you go to Matthew 16, I'll just show you. He was kind of unveiling it. But a lot of it was in parables, and a lot of it was in metaphors. He was not preaching it really clearly and openly. He was disguising it in parables. Okay? The only ones he clearly spoke it to were his own disciples. And even they didn't get it. They did not understand the gospel as we know it. So Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So here's what I would say. I believe personally, the gospel first starts with repentance. Okay, we'll see that. It starts with, you have to have a general knowledge of God. You have to believe in a creator. If you don't believe in a creator, there's really no gospel for you. So there's those things. But in terms of the gospel of Christ, it starts with who Jesus is. Starts with his identity. Okay, that's what you say. It's all about Jesus. Starts with who Jesus is. You have to come to faith in who he is. Not faith in yourself. Not faith in what you want to become. It's coming to faith in him. So this is what Jesus is laying out here in chapter 16. Who do men say I am? In verse 14, some said, you're John the Baptist. Some said you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? Now watch. Hold your place here. We'll come back here. Hold your place here. Go to John 21. Or actually, go to John 20. John 20. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. John 20. Why did John write his gospel? Verse 31.
But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
Okay. So you're the Christ. Christ means Messiah. They're the same word. So why did John write the book? So that you'll believe that he's the Christ. You'll believe he's the Son of God. If you don't come to believe in who he is, his death and his resurrection are going to do nothing for you. But I'll show you this. So, okay, just so you understand. So first starts with who he is. If you, even if you go to Acts 2, we'll look at this in a second. But in Acts 2, the first time the gospel is preached publicly as we know it is in Acts 2. It was not really preached publicly in the Gospels. I'll show you. The first time it was preached publicly is in Acts 2. This is when Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words." Who is he going to preach about? Jesus of Nazareth. He's not going to preach about himself. He's not going to preach about the church. He's not going to preach about your new identity and all this. First, it starts with Jesus. The gospel's all about Jesus. So he preaches about Jesus. And he explains who Jesus is. He explains how they took him and crucified him. Verse 24, but God raised him up. And then look, he even quotes quotes the Psalms to prove that this resurrection was contained in the Old Testament. He preaches, let's see, yeah, so basically, you can look at it. But then verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Okay, so he's preaching Jesus. He's preaching Jesus. And he's going back to Old Testament scriptures to confirm that this stuff was in our scriptures. This is prophesied of and it's been fulfilled in Jesus. If you go to Acts 8, this is when Philip is going to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him," who? Jesus. Preaches Jesus. Now, verse 36. "As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What hinders me to be baptized? Now, if you have a new Bible, it might skip verse 37 and go right to verse 38. Okay? That's messed up, okay? Yeah, unfortunately, there's corruptions in new Bibles, okay? But if you have the King James, verse 37 is still there. "What's hindering me to be baptized?" Verse 37. "And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Okay. And then he stopped him and they baptized him. Okay. So identity, it's all about Jesus. The gospel's about Jesus. Okay. But if we go back to Matthew 16, so this is where Jesus started with his apostles. The first revelation they had to come to is, who am I? Who am I? You need to get that right first. Now, before that comes repentance. Before that comes the message of the kingdom. You have to turn from sin. You have to want to know God. You have to want to do his will. So that does come before faith. But in terms of the gospel, first starts with who he is. And Peter got it right in Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, by the way, I want you to understand, what Christ were they expecting? When Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God, what is Peter thinking? in his mind as a Jewish man 2,000 years ago?
Think of Messiah.
Messiah.
The promised Messiah.
The promised Messiah. And what are they thinking of Messiah?
We'll come to save them.
Yes, but in what way? Are they expecting the Lamb who's going to die for their sins? Are they expecting the one who's going to be their atonement? Or are they expecting the conquering king?
I think the conquering king. They were never expecting the...
Because they didn't know that he was... They still didn't believe that he was going
to
die for them.
We're about to show you that in a second, yeah. So even though it was hidden in the Old Testament, it was there. When he says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, go back to Psalm 2. This is exactly what Peter's thinking. And I think this is important.
Psalm 2.
Psalm 2. Remember what Peter preaches. The one who you crucified, God's made him Lord and Christ. He's made him Lord and Christ. So Psalm 2 is going to tell us what were the Jews, what was their understanding of who the Son of God would be, of who the Messiah would be. Okay, now the word Christ, the word Messiah, is the same as anointed. It means anointed. Okay, so in verse 1, the heathen are raging, and the people are imagining a vain thing. In verse 2, the kings of the earth are setting themselves, and the rulers of the earth are taking counsel together against two people. Who are they taking counsel against?
The Lord.
The Lord and
his anointed.
Okay, so now watch. The Lord, that's the Father, and his anointed. Okay. Now we're going to see. He's going to explain. So they say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Okay, so it's a joke. These people think they're going to take on God. He laughs. It's a joke. Are you guys kidding me?
Yeah.
I'll crush you. I will crush you. Okay. Verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now watch this. What's he going to say? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who is this king? See, remember, these are all the kings. They make themselves kings.
Yeah.
People make themselves kings. And they think they have power. They think they have might. And God goes, listen, boys, I have put my king in Zion. Who's his king? Verse 7. I'll declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. The anointed. Remember, anointed is the same word as Christ. So when you read this, you could read it as the Lord and his Christ. They're taking counsel against the Lord and his Christ. Are you seeing it? The Lord and his Christ. Who is the Christ? It's the king that he's put on Zion. Who is that king? He's the Son of God. The one begotten of the Father himself. And he says, verse 8, ask of me. This is the Father talking to the Son. Ask of me, Son, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. I'll give you the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You'll break them with a rod of iron. You'll dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So this is what the Father has decreed to the Son. The Father has told the Son, you ask me, I'll give you the whole thing. I'll give you the rod of iron. You'll crush them. You're my king that I've established. This is the Son of God. Okay, this is Psalms. This is Old Testament. This is what they're expecting. So, verse 10, be wise now, therefore, ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's the Father. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled, but a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So, when Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, this is what he's talking about. He's not talking about a personal Savior who's going to die for his sins. He doesn't even understand that. He's thinking about the King, the one anointed of the Father, who's going to rule heaven and earth. And you know what Jesus says? You're blessed, Peter. You got it. You're right. That's who I am. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. Okay? I want you to see that. Go back to Matthew 16. That's what he confesses. He's not thinking personal Savior. He's not understanding reconciliation. Now we're going to see that is the gospel, but they don't understand this yet. So when you're reading the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, They're not understanding that. They're just coming to realize who Jesus is. They're believing in who he is, but they're not understanding the work he has to do so that we can be in him, so that we can be in this kingdom. You understand? That's what's going on. So verse 17, he says, Jesus answered, said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. You got it right. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and on this rock," what he just came to understand and believe, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Okay? They were not permitted to preach that he was the Messiah openly until after his resurrection and they received the Spirit. But that was the first step. They first had to come to believe in who he is. And Peter did. And Jesus says, "You're blessed. You've got it. That's who I am. My identity is I am the conquering king who will crush all my enemies. And I've been given absolute power by the Father, and I'll rule from Zion. That's who I am. That's it. On this faith, I build my church. On this faith." But now watch this. That's not the gospel as we know it. That's the core of the gospel. And this is one of the big mistakes I've seen in the last 80 to 100 years. There's many people who have tried to take that core out, because they don't want to know about the judgment of God. They don't want to know about the conquering king who's going to crush his enemies. They take that out, and they just want to say, Jesus loves you. He wants to take you to heaven.
They don't want to know the truth.
What's that?
They don't want to know the truth.
No, so they don't have that core. So they just want, Jesus died for my sins so I can go to heaven. But they don't know, they're not really believing in him. So our gospel first is about him. But then after that, notice what Jesus does. Verse 21. "From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." You see that? So, they believe in who he is, but they don't understand his work. They think the kingdom's now. They think the crushing is now. It's not. His work was first to lay himself down, to be the sacrifice, to be the atonement, to be the reconciliation, to pay for the sins. And this is what Paul had such a good understanding of, and Paul just opened up in his letters. They also too did, they're catching up a little bit later. But ultimately, the good news is that he's alive, that he beat death. So if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." Okay, the gospel is what lets you be saved. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Okay, what is it? "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ," so you have to know who Christ is, you have to know who Jesus is, he's Christ, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time." So what is this gospel Paul's revealing? Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. All according to the scriptures. He appeared to many.
like a little Acts 10 with Cornelius when he came and he shared that first part where they shared what had happened.
Yes.
And that's when he came and he shared the truth of Jesus Christ as well. And that's verse 42 onwards.
Yes.
Acts 10, yeah.
Yes.
That's a nice.
Exactly.
Stepping stone. That's
exactly.
Yeah. I love the way it says, you told us that it's the good news that it's preached to all.
It's for all, yes.
But you've got to believe the good news. If you don't believe the good news, you don't believe in the truth.
Yep.
And before that meant that 1 Corinthians 15, it says, it is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believed something that was never the truth. So the good news is for those who believe the good news. To believe the Messiah in the first place.
And also
if you continue to believe.
So the gospel, who Jesus is, he's the Christ, he's the Son of God, that's what makes him the Lord. What Jesus did, he died for our sins. I mean, you can also look at part of who he is his life, okay? So I think that's important because a lot of times in the book of Acts, and I think one of the things let's do moving forward, let's look at the messages in Acts.
Yeah.
Let's look at what the apostles preached as the gospel. Because a lot of times what is being preached today as the gospel is a little bit different. So let's go back to Acts and we'll see. What did they preach when they had a crowd? And they're going to preach the gospel. What are they preaching? Okay, so his life, his death, and his death is for sins. It's an atonement. His burial, his resurrection. So I'm seeing two main things. Go to Luke 24. Six then?
Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And verse 48.
And you are witnesses of this.
Okay.
Of this thing.
So what are they sent forth to preach? They're sent forth to preach repentance and remission of sins. Remission of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Okay? Repentance, remission of sins. They're sent forth to preach those things. Now watch. Go back to Mark 16. I know it's a lot, but I'll put all these scriptures together later for you. I know it's running late. Just so you know, Amanda canceled for today. She canceled for today. She's got some other business she's taking care of. If you guys still want to go there, if you're up for it, we can still go into the community and just go house to house a little bit. But she canceled, so we're not actually meeting her today.
Yeah, I'm going to leave at 12.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you guys. I don't mind either way. I'm easy going. Okay, Mark 16. Verse 14. After it appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So what's the unbelief that he's upbraiding them for?
They still didn't believe that he's going to die. They still didn't believe in his resurrection.
They didn't believe in the resurrection.
They didn't believe that he was resurrected. They still didn't believe it.
Yeah.
He had to prove it to them.
Yes, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So then, verse 15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach what?
The good news.
The gospel to every creature. So what is the gospel in the context here?
The good news.
Good news of what?
The death and resurrection.
Yeah, he's resurrected. He's alive. Listen, the cross of Christ is not good news unless he's alive.
That's true. That's the resurrection.
The resurrection. So one of the things we're going to see, the main focal point, we'll see this as we go through Acts, the main focal point actually will not be the cross. The main focal point will be the resurrection. That is the good news. That's what opens up the good news. In believing that Jesus is the Christ and that he did beat death, in believing that, that opens up the cross for us. So we can finally have sins forgiven, so we can have this reconciliation, and so that we can have the hope of eternal life ourselves.
I think it's a new way of preaching. It's a new way to preach that he is here right now, not preach that he is gone, but to preach it. I don't know if it makes sense, like the revelation of, like they said, they couldn't believe that he would be raised from the dead, you know, so they had that mindset and that disillusion that it's not possible.
Yeah.
So when we preach, we mustn't preach in disillusion that he's not here, as they did, but to preach that he's with us right now. In a way,
well, he is, but the thing is, Jesus did go back to heaven.
Yes.
And that's part of the gospel, is that he's there. He's there, and he's coming back to take over. So we'll see that as we go forward. But I just want you to see the main focal point in terms of the gospel, when you preach it to the lost, and we'll see this in Acts, okay, is going to be the resurrection. That's really the good news, that Christ is alive, that Christ beat death. Through that, it opens up everything else. If he's not resurrected, there's no good news. Now remember, they didn't believe the good news when they heard it from somebody else. They heard it from the ladies. They did not believe the good news. And if they would have continued in unbelief, they would have been damned. But Jesus, he knew their hearts. He knew they needed that extra confirmation. He appears to them. Now they're like, wow, he's alive. Oh my goodness. He is the Christ. We didn't lose him. We didn't think he was the Christ that we lost. No, he really is. So then he says, go preach the gospel to every creature. And verse 16. In the end, there's only two groups. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Shall be damned. So this is the thing. This gospel is now going to be a sword to cut the whole earth into two partitions.
Sharper than the two-edged sword.
Sharper than the two-edged sword. This gospel cuts those who believe from those who don't believe. And that's what it does. But one of the things you're going to see, when we're going to go through Acts, we're going to look at the messages, all the messages in Acts that are publicly preached. And as we go through it, you're going to see that word that they preach is a sword that divides the believers from the unbelievers. And that's why this gospel is so key. Because if I go out and just say, Jesus loves you, you're awesome, man, I just want to like help you have a better life, I'm not really preaching the gospel. That might become part of the gospel later, but that's not the core of the gospel. The core of the gospel is not Jesus loves you, you're awesome, man, I want to give you, Jesus wants to give you a better life. No, the core of the gospel is who he is, his identity, that he died and he rose again. And if you believe in him and if you believe in that, then yes, he loves you. He's got a better life for you. He's got eternal life for you, right? But if you reject that, you're actually keeping yourself outside of his intimate love, and he doesn't have a better life for you because you're rejecting the gospel. You're actually headed for damnation.
That was so important about John. That John preached life. So I can change my word to say, this gospel is life.
Amen. Amen.
The word became life. When you go to John 1, the word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everybody. So the moment you realize that the word is life, suddenly dawns and bam,
yep,
he's alive.
That resurrection is going to open
like
up.
Like a little bulb. Ding!
It's going to open up the depths of the riches. Okay, so we're just starting, okay? We're just starting. But I want us to at least understand the basics. The truth is, you'll never believe the gospel until you repent. That's why repentance is always preached first. And there's no repentance if you don't believe in a creator. So again, we'll look through Acts. When Paul goes to preach to a bunch of heathen who worship a bunch of gods, before he preaches Jesus, he's going to first say, there's one God who made all things. You guys are superstitious. You don't know what you guys are doing. Okay, you guys are, look, there's only one guy. He's the creator of heaven and earth. You don't worship him with your hands. You don't build a temple for him to live in. He made all things. He doesn't need your silver. He doesn't need your gold. He doesn't need your tithes. He doesn't need your offerings. He doesn't need your temples. He doesn't need your buildings. No, let's get this thing straight. He's a spirit, and he's not far from any one of us. He wants you to know him. If you seek after him, if you feel after him, you can know him. Okay, so we got to start with God. And then there needs to be a repentance to God, an actual desire to know this God, to turn to this God, to love this God. Okay, so that's repentance. And we can open up the kingdom. We can say the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom that's bigger than this. But even all of that is not the gospel. That's just prepping you to get to the gospel. The gospel itself is Jesus, who he is, and what he did, so that through him we can be reconciled to the Father. Through him we can have this new birth, this new life, this new identity, all this stuff. This forgiveness of sins, this eternal life. Inheritance. He talks about, we're going to see that's another key thing in Acts, inheritance. You're going to have inheritance up there, not just down here, up there. This gospel is a call to the heavenlies. It's not just earth. Too many people preach an earthy gospel. Better car, better life, better job, better this, better that. That's an earthly gospel. That's not the gospel that this thing is. This is a call to into the heavenly.
Amen.
Truth. Amen. And it's the truth. Okay, let's leave it at that, okay? Good? Yeah. Amen.
That is it.
That was take for me.
Hebrews 10, 11. This is talking about the death.
Yeah, it's also about the death.
Yeah, Hebrews 10, you can read 10 through 12. It's all good, you can read further than that. But by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Every priest. By the way, every church, every religion that has priests, their whole purpose is to offer daily sacrifices for your sins. But those sins, they can never take away sins with those sacrifices. They're wasting their time. Why? Verse 12, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever.
Yes.
Okay, it's done. So guess what he did? He sat down on the right hand of God. Part of the gospel is it's finished. That's part of the gospel.
That's why we're made perfect. Right then. We were made, the church was made perfect. Right there, my brother. Right there. There's the perfection of the church.
Yes. Yeah. But think about this. Just think for a second. Get the picture in your head. In heaven, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Okay. The Father sends the Word down to earth. Becomes flesh like us, but he's not like us. He's not a sinner. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled, separate from sinners. Lives the pure, perfect life we can never live. Fulfills the law completely blameless. everything that man was supposed to be, Jesus Christ is. He is everything man was supposed to be. And then at the end of his life, he trades. He takes our sin. He takes our wickedness. He takes our guilt. He takes our condemnation. He takes the curse. Now we'll look more at this. How could Jesus actually become cursed? How could the Father curse the Son and be righteous? There's a way. It's all in the Scriptures. God already revealed this. But Jesus takes the curse for us, the condemnation, the guilt, the sin, everything, the shame on that cross. He's made sin for us. He dies, he's buried. But because he's pure and righteous and holy, death can't hold him.
No.
Death can't hold him. So he goes down there and he grabs the keys of hell and death. And
says,
these are mine. I'm Lord in Christ. He preaches to the captives down there. And he goes, let's go, baby. Bam! 3 days later, he erupts. He's alive forevermore. And he goes, hey, go tell him. Yeah. Go into the world and tell everybody.
Yes, preach
to everybody. Whoever believes, saved.
Saved.
Whoever won't believe, damn. Okay. This is it. It's the good news. If you reject this good news, what can God do for you?
Nothing.
If you reject his very son, what can he do? He can't do anything for you. Now look, and then it's not done. Because one of the things you'll see in Acts, the resurrection, that's the focal point. But he didn't just resurrect and stay on earth. So he started from up here. He came down. He went down into the pit. He came up. And he went full circle back into heaven. So visualize this gospel. We who are trapped on earth and could never ascend into the hill of the Lord in our own righteousness, could never ascend. Jesus. Down, back up. So through him, we can now have access.
Yes.
That's why, again, when Jacob dreamed that dream and he saw that ladder, saw a ladder between heaven and earth and the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. You remember what Jesus told Nathanael? You remember Jesus? Look at John 1. Look at what Jesus told Nathanael. Jacob saw a vision of a ladder between heaven and earth. The angels of God are ascending and descending. Finally, okay? There's access between heaven and earth. No, just John. John 1. What did that vision mean? What did Jacob see? He didn't really understand it. He didn't understand it. Verse 51. And Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon who?
The Son of Man.
He is the ladder. When Jacob saw a ladder and angels going up and down, he didn't really understand, what is this? Jesus says, you're going to see heaven open and you'll see him coming down and going up on me, the Son of Man. He is the one that gives people on earth access.
The Father.
It's like that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through
me. Except through me. Exactly. So,
I received the doctrine. That's why I was asking. Trying to understand what is it? What is
it? Yes. He interpreted Jacob's ladder for Nathanael. Mm. Nathanael was probably just reading about that story under the fig tree and praying and asking God to understand. And Jesus shows up and answers everything and interprets the thing. And it's like
there's an answer in Hebrews 11 at the end there. Well, he talks about faith. He talks about all the faith that people had. So their faith earned them a good reputation. But they didn't receive all that God had promised them.
No.
That is where we come into.
Yeah.
But God has something better in mind for us.
Yes.
So that they would not reach perfection without
us.
Us.
Exactly.
That's why we're here. That they can receive perfection as well.
And it's all
be there for them.
So literally, Christ isn't just the cross between heaven and earth, but he's also the cross between Old Testament
and New
Testament. Between Israel, the believers of the Old, and the church of Jesus Christ, the believers of the new, he's the connection point. This way and this way, between Jew and Gentile, all being brought into one through him.
Because what you're saying there is that the person is still the same at the commandments of the old. When 13:21 John, the person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him, and make myself real to him. But John, like, I love John chapter 14.
I just love all of them.
But from 17 onwards to 17 to 27.
That's all good. So when you get into John, the end of John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's all revelation for believers, for the true disciples. Because Judas is gone, and just the true believers, the true disciples are left. So those verses, that's him opening up. That's for us, the believers. That's for us, the disciples. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, I actually got to go.
Let's pray, and then we can split. Let's do this. Brother Larry, close us in prayer, please.
God, we just want to thank you. For you are indeed a great God. You are indeed the water of life. Lord, we're so grateful because you poured out yourself anew in our midst this morning. Lord, what manner of wisdom, oh God, you've poured within us. Lord, for that we say thank you. We know, Lord, these revelations are not from man, but it is indeed from you. And for this we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, so it was beautiful when we pray and we see it happen. We ask that you reveal yourself anew this morning. And Lord, you have done that. Lord, thank you. Thank you for you are indeed a God who hears and a God who answers prayer. Indeed, you said you are God who hears and answers. You have ears and you can hear. You have eyes and you can see. Yes. You have mouth and you can speak. Yes. Lord, thank you for speaking to our heart this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless your name. We glorify your name this hour, O God, for you are an amazing Father. Thank you for the gospel of truth, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, amen. Jesus thank Christ Jesus. Is indeed the gospel of truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy and compassion on us, your people, for sending your Son to die on the cross of Calvary to restore man back to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you. Thank you. There is nothing as beautiful as there's nothing, oh God, as great love than this love that you sent your Son. Thank you for revealing this to us. And thank you for the privilege that you brought us into that gospel. Yes. Into that truth. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this truth, oh God, we continue to shine forth in our lives, oh God. In our ministry in you, oh God, we continue to shine forth this truth. The gospel of Jesus, which is the gospel of truth that you have opened up to us anew this morning.
Amen.
Lord, glory to your name. Glory to your name, Son of David. Glory to your name, Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Glory to your name who sits on the throne of David forevermore. Glory to your name who was, who is, and who will be forevermore. Glory to your name, O God. For indeed there is no greater God than you. We say thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, our God. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, O God. Lord, we worship you. We worship you. Lord, we
hallelujah.
Worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, King of Kings. We worship you, I am that I am. We worship you, Fountain of Living Water. We worship you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We can never thank you enough. We can never thank you for the depth in your word that you have opened our eyes into this morning. Lord, we can never, Lord, thank you enough. But Lord, above everything, we say, Lord, be glorified. Lord, be honored, Lord. Jehovah, be praised, oh God. Be lifted on high. Be lifted on high, our God. We are grateful. We find it a great privilege to exalt your name. Yes.
Hallelujah.
It is indeed a great privilege, Lord, to exalt your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you will continue, Lord, in what you're doing in us and through us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. That when this time is right, oh God, and you will send us out, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We say, Lord, when the time is right, oh God, when you see it fit, oh God, you will send us out, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You alone knows the time. You alone knows the season. But Lord, we are grateful, oh God. We are opportune to continue to, Lord, to seek you,
yes,
to
sir.
Sit, oh God, at your feet, oh God, to learn more about you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, our God. Thank you, our God. And Lord, we pray for your protection over us as a people,
please,
as a family, oh God, as members of the body of Christ, we ask for your protection, oh God. Lord, what you have given to us, Lord, is precious, oh God. And we ask that you will continue, Lord, to protect us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I plead your blood, the blood of a new covenant, oh God, as an edge over everyone on this place, over our families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For there is power in the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There is power in the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Son of David. Thank you, oh God. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I love this.
Honey.
I love this.
Hallelujah.
I love this.
Hallelujah. And glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the glory. Revive us again.
Honey, honey, honey.
This is what brothers are
about. Yeah. Yeah. Through his word.